Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Millions in the Northeast under threat from flooding rains and heavy snow. The outpouring of support for Britain's Princess Catherine as she's treated for cancer. And the death toll growing in the Moscow terror attack. First, that spring soaker. Several inches of rain falling in the Northeast. Philadelphia setting a new record for the wettest March day ever. At the peak of the storm today, more than 50 million Americans under flood alerts. And the new concern over high winds overnight, with snow blanketing several states. Our weather team timing it all out. Also tonight, well-wishers from all over the world expressing support for Catherine, the Princess of Wales, after she revealed she's being treated for cancer. The President and First Lady among those reaching out, and the very personal message from Harry and Meghan. New images of a man accused of sneaking onto a plane. They appear to show him snapping pictures of other passengers' tickets discovered after he exited one of the plane's restrooms. The Moscow terror attack, the death toll soaring, more than 130 killed at a concert hall. New video as Russian authorities arrest the suspected attackers. Survivors tell harrowing stories of gunmen who said nothing while methodically shooting people. The ISIS group claiming responsibility and what U.S. intelligence may have known before the attack. President Biden signing a spending plan that tops $1 trillion. Final Senate approval coming after the deadline in the early morning hours. And why the House Speaker suddenly finds himself in the hot seat. New calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. The UN chief demanding a flood of aid into the region. And the growing rift between President Biden and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. The Mega Millions jackpot growing to more than $1 billion after 30 straight drawings without a winner. And America Strong tonight, incredible video, rescuers using blankets and hair dryers to revive a dog abandoned in sub-freezing conditions. The happy ending you have to see.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. As we come on the air, millions in the Northeast are on alert for potentially dangerous flooding. One of the wettest March days on record. Some places getting as much as 4 inches of rain. Northern New England already with more than a foot of snow and more on the way overnight. The torrential downpours flooding roads in the New York area. Police closing some lanes as drivers tried to make their way through heavy floodwaters. Plows working overtime in upstate New York. Some places could get more than 2 feet of snow. And after the rain and snow comes the wind. Tonight, millions also in the path of powerful gusts reaching up to 50 miles per hour in some places. Let's get right to ABC meteorologist Samara Theodore leading us off. And Samara, this storm could still do more damage overnight.
That's correct, Whit. As you stated, we are still under threat for significant flooding as the heavy rains persist. Take a look at these flood alerts. So we have a flood watch extending from Wilmington, Delaware to Boston, Massachusetts. Some cities like Philadelphia under flood warning saw their wettest March day on record. And it's not just rainfall. Heavy snowfall comes on the northern tier of this system. Parts of New Hampshire, Vermont, upstate New York have already seen over a foot of snow, and they could see an additional 1 to 2 feet of snow before it's all said and done, which we are anticipating this storm to wrap up just after midnight. Now, it pulls out and it takes with it the snow and the rain. However, on the back end, strong winds move in. A wind advisory in place. Wind gusts could reach as high as 40 to 50 miles per hour. And even with winds growing calmer tomorrow, still pretty breezy start to the Sunday morning in the Northeast. Whit?
That storm still on the move, Samara. Thank you. We turn now to the outpouring of support for Britain's Princess Catherine. One day after revealing she was undergoing cancer treatment, heartfelt messages from President Biden and the First Lady to Harry and Meghan. And tonight, Prince William and Princess Catherine saying they are enormously touched by the well wishes from all around the world. ABC's Lama Hassan reporting tonight outside Buckingham Palace.
Tonight, after Catherine, Princess of Wales, delivered her deeply personal cancer diagnosis to the world.
My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
Support and sympathy flooding in. From California, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Harry and Meghan, releasing a statement saying, "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately." ABC News learning that Harry and Meghan later reached out privately to Prince William and Princess Catherine. President Joe Biden posting on X saying, Jill and I join millions around the world in praying for your full recovery, Princess Kate. First Lady Jill Biden also sending her own message, simply saying you are brave and we love you.
For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
The princess's diagnosis announced just weeks after her father-in-law, King Charles, revealed his own. Catherine's emotional statement touching so many people who are now uniting behind the mother of three.
My favourite royal, so I was really sad to hear about it, actually. Yeah, so I really, whatever treatment she needs, I really hope it works for her and she recovers well.
That's the overriding sentiment here right now, is this overwhelming feeling of affection, of concern, of people being genuinely really worried about her because they feel very connected to her.
With there's a huge amount of sympathy and empathy for Princess Catherine as she tries to deal with this devastating news. And tonight, Princess Diana's brother, Charles Spencer, posting about Princess Catherine on X, simply saying, incredible strength and poise. Wit.
Lama Hassan for us tonight. Thank you. And tonight, we're also learning more about the shocking incident involving a Delta flight. Newly obtained video allegedly showing a man taking pictures of passengers boarding passes at the gate. Officials say he then used one of those photos to board the plane. Here's ABC's Zorin Shaw.
Tonight, the shocking security camera footage appearing to show the lengths a Texas man allegedly went through to board a Delta flight without a ticket. Watch as the man prosecutors have identified as Wyclef Florizard, seen here in Salt Lake City's airport March 17th, appears to snap a photo with his phone of another passenger's boarding pass. He then looks down, appearing to review the image he just captured. According to the felony complaint, Florizard taking photos of multiple passengers' phones and or boarding passes while they were not looking. And seen here, according to the complaint, using his phone as a boarding pass to get on the flight to Austin, Texas. Then entering multiple bathrooms on the plane. When Florizard exited one, a flight attendant noticed that there were no seats available on the plane and approached him to assist. This as the aircraft had pushed back from the gate and had begun to taxi to the runway. The plane returning to the gate where Florizard was met by law enforcement officers.
I think the significance here is that what has been pretty much a foolproof system has a hole in it and that we have to repair it.
According to the complaint, Florizard admitted he had made a mistake and was only trying to get home.
Zorin Shaw joining us now. And Zorin, what more are we learning tonight about that suspect?
Wait, Florizard is facing a felony stowaway charge. He's been released from custody for now and ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation. Wit.
Zorin, thank you. In Russia tonight, authorities are combing through the rubble for survivors in that deadly concert hall attack in Moscow. More than 130 people confirmed dead, armed gunmen storming the building, shooting concert goers, and setting off explosives. The terrorist group ISIS-K claiming responsibility, but the Kremlin today trying to draw a connection with no evidence to Ukraine. Here's ABC's Patrick Reeval.
Tonight, Russia saying it has now arrested the four gunmen in this horrific terror attack at the Moscow concert hall. Russian state TV airing these videos, which ABC News has not independently verified, claiming they show one of the alleged attackers being detained by the FSB. The man telling officers he carried out the attack for money. State media also airing this video, claiming to show another man accused of being an attacker, bleeding badly. ABC News has not been able to verify the video. Video circulating online showing the attackers storming the packed concert venue. Panic as heavy gunfire sounds. Gunmen firing indiscriminately into the crowd. People struggling to get out. In the corridors, bodies. The death toll now at 130, according to Russian authorities, who warn it could still rise further. ISIS-K, a regional branch of the Islamic terror group, today releasing a photo it says of the gunman, claiming credit for the attack, calling it the fiercest in years. The US also saying it shared intelligence to Russia weeks ago, suggesting ISIS was planning similar attacks. Russia has long been a target of ISIS. ISIS-K, the terror group's Central Asian offshoot, mostly based in Afghanistan, in 2022 bombing the Russian embassy there. Today, Muscovites lining up at blood donation detention centres, others laying flowers in front of the still smouldering concert hall as workers continue to search for survivors. The attack, now the deadliest to hit Moscow in 2 decades. One survivor, Anastasia, saying the attackers didn't speak, walking and firing at everyone they saw. My coat was covered in blood, she says. I think somebody shielded me with their body. Margarita and her husband also saying they were lucky to make it out. The gunshots went on and on, she says. Vladimir Putin, in an address today, promising retribution for the attack, but ignoring the ISIS claim. Putin saying the men were detained while trying to flee to Ukraine and claiming a crossing had been organized for them there. Leading Kremlin figures today trying to suggest, without evidence, that Ukraine may bear some responsibility. Ukrainian officials have vehemently denied any involvement, accusing the Kremlin of trying to exploit the attack to fan support for its war there.
ISIS has long sought to target Russia, in part because of Putin's intervention in Syria. The question many experts are now asking is whether Russia's security services were so preoccupied by the war in Ukraine that they were able to allow this attack to happen. Whit.
Patrick Reval, thank you. And the U.S. strongly condemning that attack in Moscow. And in an interview tonight with ABC's senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott, Vice President Kamala Harris pushing back on Kremlin claims that Ukraine was somehow involved.
Vladimir Putin is already trying to link this to Ukraine and say that Ukraine is responsible. Does the U.S. have any evidence to back that up?
No. And first, let me start by saying what has happened in an act of terrorism and the number of people who've been killed is obviously a tragedy, and we should all send our condolences to those families. No, there is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
And you can see more of Rachel's interview with Vice President Harris tomorrow morning on This Week. The Senate working into the early morning hours to keep the government running, passing a bipartisan $1.2 trillion spending bill. President Biden then signing it into law today. Let's bring in ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks. And Mary Alice, the president saying this deal represents a compromise.
Yeah, exactly. The president said, look, neither party got everything it wanted. But the bill, among other things, does include a raise for U.S. troops, new funding for Head Start. That was a White House priority, and money to hire 2,000 additional border agents. The White House also applauding that move, saying that it had been asking Congress for more funding to help secure the border. Now, some in the president's own party voting against it, Senator Bernie Sanders, for example, disagreeing with additional military aid being sent to Israel right now. And of course, we saw House Speaker Mike Johnson face blowback from some in his party for having struck a deal with Democrats at all. Now, as for a possible revolt from Republicans, any potential vote to maybe oust Johnson, the House is out for 2 weeks. So nothing soon. And of course, tempers could cool by then.
Something to watch closely in the coming weeks. Mary Alice, thank you. Now to the Israel-Hamas war. Prime Minister Netanyahu vowing to press ahead with plans to invade Rafah despite an urgent personal appeal from Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And Blinken's mission to the region coming as the UN Secretary General makes an urgent plea for more aid into Gaza. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Tel Aviv tonight.
Tonight, the UN Secretary General having driven past miles of aid trucks waiting for entry into Gaza with that stark message.
Here from this crossing, we see the heartbreak and heartlessness of it all. A long line of blocked red relief trucks on one side of the gates, the long shadow of starvation on the other.
The UN acknowledging it has struggled to distribute aid once it's in Gaza due to Israeli red tape, lawlessness in Gaza, and bombed out roads. The Secretary General saying, we have seen enough, we have heard enough. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken delivering a similar message to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Friday, ceasefire now. Echoing President Biden, the Secretary also strenuously urging Israel not to invade the southern Gaza city of Rafah. But a short time after their meeting, Netanyahu announcing Israel will go into Gaza with or without U.S. support.
Secretary of State Blinken is in that SUV right there. These protesters have been blocking his entrance to his hotel, demanding that more attention be brought to the hostages.
Blinken eventually getting out, shaking hands with protesters. It came after a U.S. draft resolution in the United Nations Security Council for an immediate and sustained ceasefire tied to a hostage release was vetoed by China and Russia Friday. And with amid the debate about Rafah, Israel now beginning the seventh day of its raid into Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest. Palestinian officials saying that scores have been killed. Israel saying it has detained over 800 suspected militants. And Israeli officials telling me it's their most successful campaign of the war so far.
But Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv, thank you. Next tonight, amid the gang violence and escalating humanitarian crisis in Haiti, the U.S. State Department says it's monitoring the situation there, helping more than 230 Americans flee. Helicopters airlifting dozens to the Dominican Republic, others leaving on chartered flights. The World Food Program estimates nearly 5 million people, about half the population, are facing acute food insecurity. There is still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. New concerns about measles in the U.S. with cases on the rise. Plus, millions in cash and 26 pounds of cocaine found hidden in the most unusual places.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Next tonight, measles on the rise with more cases already this year than in all of last year. 64 cases reported across 17 states, including one on New York's Long Island, involving an unvaccinated child who is hospitalized. Chicago has reported 17 cases, and nearby in Indiana, health officials are investigating a possible mass exposure incident of measles at a local church. Health officials are urging people to stay up to date on their vaccinations. Heavy rain today has helped firefighters battle a series of wildfires in Virginia. The fires kicked up several days ago, fueled by dry conditions and gusty winds. Multiple trails were shut down in the Shenandoah National Park. Some schools were closed and a handful of evacuations ordered. Authorities say there are no reports of any injuries. To the index now, and an unusual drug bust worth millions in New York City. Investigators say the suspect tried to hide money and drugs in trap doors and furniture, including coffee tables, dressers, and nightstands. 26 pounds of cocaine and $3 million were seized from the Bronx apartment. The suspect, who faces multiple charges, is being held without bail. And nobody picked up all six numbers in the Friday night Mega Millions drawing, so the jackpot now for Tuesday's drawing will be an estimated $1.1 billion, the fifth highest in Mega Millions history. There have now been 30 consecutive drawings without a winner. By the way, the Powerball jackpot also growing up to $750 million for tonight's drawing. Good luck. Finally tonight, America Strong, the incredible rescue on video and the lucky pup who captured the hearts of millions.
This pit bull mix named Horton is lucky to be alive. On a freezing day in January, the Kansas City Pet Project received an urgent call that an abandoned and unresponsive dog had been found.
We rushed an officer to the home, rushed him to our veterinary clinic. He was completely unconscious. Our veterinary team just immediately got to work to try to save his life.
Jumping into action, the team recording this incredible video, their delicate and methodical efforts to revive Horton.
So what they started to do was try to warm him up very slowly.
First using blankets, then hair dryers and massage.
And then over the course of, you know, several hours, you just started to see those little signs.
Hope filling the room. 2-year-old Horton coming back to life.
his little tail started wagging, and he was just so happy to be around people. When we came in the next morning, he was standing on his own. After he was in our shelter for just a little bit, we decided to go ahead and post him on our TikTok.
Look at you.
That TikTok post eventually getting millions of views. Tracy Crippen was on a lunch break when she first saw the video.
My Casey Pet Project video popped up on my timeline, and it was so cute. I instantly fell in love with him. I started like crying.
Tracy and Richie adopting Horton as soon as they possibly could.
He was the cutest little guy ever, and he immediately wanted nothing more than to start licking us.
Horton now in the warm embrace of his forever home.
Don't be afraid to adopt dogs. Like, he had a rough start to his life. All they need is a little love and a little attention. We couldn't be happier with Horton.
Absolutely. Truly a happy ending. Thanks so much for watching tonight. I'm Whit Johnson. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.